I want to read a verse from 2 Kings in chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We read in verse 25, 2 Kings 6:25. There was a great famine in Samaria because the enemy had besieged that city, a city that was meant to be part of God's people, but the enemy had besieged it until a donkey's head was being sold for 80 shekels of silver. That's about 1500 rupees for the head of a donkey. And a bit of dove's dung was sold for 75 rupees. It's pretty bad. That is a condition in a lot of Christendom. A famine of the word of the Lord, a famine of the spirit of prophecy, a famine of the spirit of praise, a famine of the joy of the Lord, a famine of peace and rest, a famine of victory. And the people are full of unbelief. They're fighting with each other and killing one another, hating each other. It says here about a woman who had a complaint against her, another woman, because she says in verse 28 and 29 that this woman proposed that we eat my son one day and her son the next, and so we boiled my son and ate him one day, but the next day when I said, kill your son now, we got to eat him now, she hid him. That's pretty bad. And then Elisha said, the Lord's going to do something in this situation. Chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord says, by this time tomorrow, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel. He says, for 25 rupees, you're going to get quite a bit of barley and flour. You don't have to eat donkey's heads and dove's dung. And the officer whose hand the king was leaning on answered the man of God and said, even if the Lord made windows in heaven, such a thing can never be. Even if the Lord made windows in heaven, even if the windows of heaven are open, oh, that can't be. This is all human, emotional working up. And this is not genuine. This is not real. No. This can't be. And Elisha said to him, you will see it with your own eyes, but you won't experience it yourself. You'll see it with your eyes, but you won't experience it yourself, because you would not believe. And later on we read in the rest of that story how it was exactly like that. Within 24 hours, God opened the windows of heaven and did a miracle there. And you know who experienced that plenty and the miracle first? It's very interesting to see there. There were 4 leprous men, verse 3 of chapter 7, sitting at the entrance of the gate. And those were the ones, you read that story, who experienced the plenty first. Those who were considered outcasts, the lepers, the people who we feel are sort of beneath my social level, a little outside. You know, we are the cultured, educated people, of course. We are the ones with 4-figure salaries whom God will, of course, meet with us first. Yeah, we'll get a big surprise. The lepers outside, the ones whom we think little of, get in touch with God before all the dignified, cultured people who think that God has to meet with them first because they are educated and they are decent people. And this man, who was such a high officer, he missed out completely. I rejoice like Jesus rejoiced. I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. I thank you, Father, that you bypass the great people of the world. You bypass those who are great and rich and clever. and you go straight down to those who are needy and thirsty for God. That is what God is doing, and I believe that it's only a beginning. I have faith for that. I hope you have. What we read in Ezekiel 47, we saw the other day. It's a terrible thing if the Lord were to say to any of us, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not experience it yourself. You will see it with your eyes, but you will not experience it. Ezekiel 47, it says, the Lord brought me back to the door of the house, and water was flowing. And it says in the last part of verse 2, water was trickling. It began like a little trickle, but it finally became waters, verse 5, the last part, to swim in a river that could not be crossed. And you know, in the beginning it says here that Ezekiel walked into the water, and the water was up to his ankles, and then he led him further, and verse 4, and the water reached his knees. And then he went further, he wasn't satisfied, and the water reached his loins. This is a picture of a man who is not satisfied with the water coming up to his feet, who's not satisfied with the trickle, and says, Lord, there must be more to this, and I want to press on, and the water reaches his knees. And then he measured another 1,000 and led me through, and it came up to his loins, it's up to his hip. And then he went further. And then it says, the waters had risen. And that was the moment of, we can say, ecstasy. When Ezekiel's feet got lifted off the earth, and the river began to carry him after that. There is a stage in the life and the spirit where, you know, our feet are still on the earth. Yes, the water is flowing around us. Maybe it's come up to our loins, but we've still got our feet on earth, and, you know, common sense and reason and explain everything. We got our feet on earth, as they say. We don't want to be carried away. We want to keep our feet on the earth. It's because we are so attached to this earth. But then there are people who want to press on and press on to that moment where a break comes. And after that, it's not you deciding where to go. It's the Spirit, it's the river carrying you. That is the life God wants to lead us to. And blessed are those who will never be satisfied with the trickle, with what has come up to the ankles, what has come up to the feet, to the loins, and say, Lord, I want to make that break. I want to make that break. I want to let go. And let go this security that comes from my reason. The security that comes from my cold analysis of things. I want to let go. I believe it's something like that even in the speaking of tongues. I can begin to praise the Lord, and it's like a trickle. Yes, praise the Lord, and with little difficulty I say hallelujah, and slowly my hands get raised, and I'm going and going, but I will not make that final break with earth. I want the security, and I remain praising the Lord in a language that I know. But there are people who will break out of that and say, Lord, carry me further. And break forth to be carried by the Spirit, and that contact with the language of earth is broken, and we are carried by the Spirit now into a language that God understands, that I don't understand, the devil doesn't understand, the devil doesn't have a clue what I'm saying, but I am expressing the will of God. It says the Spirit of God makes intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered, and praising God, and we come to a new life of praise and joy and rest. There is a verse in 1 Corinthians 14, I want to point out. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be babes, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, this is concerning speaking in tongues. He says, there's an Old Testament prophecy, the Holy Spirit says, where the Lord says, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers, verse 21, I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me. You will see it, but you will not experience it, because you're full of unbelief. Men of strange tongues and the lips of strangers, I'll speak to this people, and they won't believe it, they won't listen. So then, tongues are for a sign to those, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. And when you go back to this Old Testament quotation, verse 21, which is a prophecy of tongues in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 28, it's taken from there. This is where it's written in the Old Testament. Isaiah 28, it says here, verse 9, to whom will he teach knowledge? To whom will he interpret the message? Those just weaned from the milk, little babies, those just taken from the breast, for he says, order on order, line on line, a little here, a little there, a little bit, and he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. He who said to them, what did he say concerning this gift? Here is rest. It gives rest to the weary. And here is repose. But they would not listen. Therefore, verse 14, hear the word of the Lord, O scoffers. And he goes on to say in verse 16, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a costly cornerstone. It's speaking about the church. It's also quoted in the New Testament. There is a rest in verse 12. This is the rest for the weary, for those who are burdened, to be able to express themselves to God and come to rest. That is why I encourage you, brothers and sisters, exercise the gift. Exercise it. And all of you who received it in recent times, I want to ask you this question. Are you exercising it? In private. In private. Never to show off. Never to show other people. No, but for you to come to rest inwardly. Release that burden. To be free from discouragement. To have a constant spirit of praise. To be prepared for heaven. I want that. We read in Revelation, in chapter 5, Revelation says here something about the praise of heaven. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, and I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. It says here, millions. The number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. You know how many angels there are in heaven? Millions. Not 1 million. Millions. Millions and millions. What a day that'll be when you and I stand there. And every one of those angels, it says in verse 12, raises his voice. Now just imagine. I don't know how loud the voice of an angel is. I'm sure it's louder than mine. And when every one of those angels raises their voice, why do they need to raise their voice? Is it because God is deaf? No. It's because their hearts are full, not because God is deaf. It says with a loud voice. How many people? I mean, all the noise we make here will be like a whisper compared to that. I'll tell you that. What we experience here is a whisper, compared to here. Millions of angels raising their voices and saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. And as they lead that praise, it says in verse 13, every created thing That's going to include you and me. I heard them saying to him who sits on the throne, and I'm sure we're going to shout with all of our hearts in that day. God's giving us a little practice now. It's just a rehearsal. We're only having a little rehearsal. A rehearsal. Just a little rehearsal. I praise God for the foretaste of heaven in that atmosphere of praise that should characterize our lives the whole day, every day. I thank God for what the Spirit has done in me through many years in this area, that the Spirit of praise shall characterize my life every day. Joy, constant freshness. It's not emotional. Emotions can't last for 17 years like it's done in my case. It's not emotions, I'll tell you that. Any of you who think it's made up, it's not emotions. Emotions can't last so long. Emotions can't give permanent freshness. The Holy Spirit, thirst, break contact with the earth and say, Lord, carry me into this river. I don't want to be attached to the things of earth anymore. It's that attachment to things of earth. We want to keep our feet and we want the Spirit also flowing around us. And there are people like that. There are some who want to be in the Spirit, but only up to the ankles, and some up to the knees, and some up to the loins. But there are a few who make that final break with the earth and say, Lord, you carry me. Break through, you young people. Break through to that life. That life where the things of earth grow strangely dim. Where this quarreling and fighting spirit on earth has gone. There are no quarrels and fighting in heaven. It's because your feet are on earth that you quarrel and fight. Years ago I decided, nobody's going to be able to fight with me, not even concerning doctrine. Nobody's going to get in an argument with me. I've sat in places where people have begun to discuss and argue and got up and left. No, you cannot get me into an argument. I defy anybody in the world to get me into an argument or discussion or controversy. I don't have my feet on this earth in that area. I will not. I defy anybody to write me a letter of accusation and get me to reply to him. He will not get a reply. My feet are not on the earth. No. Let them accuse you. Let them call you any types of name they like. Take your feet off the earth and you'll be all right. If your feet are on the earth, then you're really going to be disturbed. Really going to be disturbed. Let them call you. I've had people call me insane and the devil and the spirit of the Antichrist and call so many things. I say, it doesn't disturb me. Not one bit. And it doesn't bring even the slightest bitterness in my heart towards any one of those people who call me those names. I love them. I can respect them and bless them. It makes absolutely no difference. No, it doesn't. And I say, it's a wonderful life. Take your feet off the earth and say, Spirit of God, carry me on in the river. Don't let me forever have this life in the Spirit where my feet are always on the earth. Break free, say to Jesus, what the psalmist said in Psalm 73. Say to Jesus what the psalmist said in Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom am I in heaven but you, Lord? I desire no one on earth but you. That is to take your feet off the earth. You who've got ambitions on the earth, can you say that? I desire nothing on earth but you. Can you say that? God is my witness that I desire nothing on earth but Jesus. That is what will preserve you in freshness, fervency of love for Him, so that Jesus will never have to turn around to you and say, you have left your first love. Say that to the Lord. Lord, I want to love you with all my heart. Yeah, do that. Whom have I in heaven but you? Lord, I'm not looking for anything but you. Once it was the blessing I was looking for. Now it is the Lord. Not the blessing, the Lord Himself. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver. You know, like little children, when daddy comes home and they want the chocolates and not the daddy. Let's not be like that. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver. And in the giver, with His gifts I can serve Him. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once I tried to use Him, Lord, I'm going here, please help me. Anoint me now, I'm going to do something for you. Now He uses me. There's a difference. Once I tried to walk wherever I liked with the river flowing around me, now I've allowed the river to carry me where it likes, and it's a mighty current, and I can't control it. It just carries me in the direction He wants. Praise the Lord that you and I can live such a life. Thirst, it says He measured another 1,000 and said, it's something like Elisha following Elijah, you know. Elijah told Elisha, is that okay now? You stay here, I'm going on. Elisha said, nothing doing, I'm pressing on, I'm going to follow you. Then he came to another place, and Elijah said, okay, you stay here. You read that in 2 Kings chapter 2. And Elisha said, no, I'm pressing on. And finally, he came to the last place, and Elijah said, all right, what have you been following me all this time for? He said, give me a double portion of your spirit. Give me a double portion of your spirit. Give me an anointing. Give me a mighty anointing. Elisha, he saw that anointing that was upon Elijah and he longed for it. He longed for it. Have a longing. I can think of a few examples as I look back in my younger days. I saw here and there a man of God. They were so rare. So rare. A man of God here, a man of God there, among all the thousands of believers I met. And there was a radiance about their life. There was an anointing about their ministry. And I said, Lord, I want that. I want that anointing in my life. I'm never going to be satisfied till you anoint me. Give me that such a radiance in my life. Give me such an anointing and freshness in my ministry, the power of God, which can never be imitated or duplicated. There is no partiality. I was just a young man, stupid and foolish in so many ways, a filthy sinner in so many ways. I said, Lord Jesus, cleanse me in your blood and do something for me. And He did. He did. He lifted my feet off the earth. Onto that river. I say that for your encouragement, dear brother, sister. He'll do that for you. How I long with all my heart that many, many of you young brothers and sisters will really allow the Spirit of God to bring in a life of perpetual freshness, perpetual praise, not of perpetual feeling. No, I have learned through the years not to live by feeling. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. Feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. It's the promises of God's Word that never change. So don't be bothered by feelings. I don't bother about feelings, whether I feel this way or feel that way. It makes no difference. God is still on the throne and He remembers His own. Jesus has still got all authority in heaven and earth. And I am His child. I am a son of the living God. Those things don't change. And I shall continue to praise the Lord and speak forth the burden of my heart. Whatever my feelings are, I want to be carried by the river. And the Lord will teach you also not to live by feelings. Another thing that the Lord's taught me is not to believe all the lies of the devil. The devil tells us so many lies. Yes, Jesus is alive and the devil is a liar. He's a liar. Everything he tells you is a lie. Tell him to his face, you're a liar. Yeah. If you find that a problem, speak to Satan. Tell him you're a liar. Tell him you're a liar. I used to do that quite a bit in the olden days. I don't do it so much now because I think the devil's sort of given up on me. Now when I speak to the devil, it's usually only when there's another person possessed with a demon. But it's good in our younger days to speak to Satan and say, "You're a liar. You got no right to touch me." Keep on saying that till he gives up on you. Because he knows that you're rooted and grounded in this truth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is conqueror, and you're convinced about it, that he's got no right to touch you. Jesus was convinced. If the devil tried to put doubt into Jesus' mind, can you imagine? Jesus, after 30 years of victory over sin, after 30 years of victory over sin, he was miles ahead of any of us spiritually when he was tempted in the wilderness. And the devil says, "You're the Son of God, are you? Are you disturbed because such a doubt comes into your mind at such an early stage in our life? Oh, some doubt came into my mind." I'll tell you, the devil tempts me with doubt even today. Sure, when I say the devil's given up, I don't mean he stopped tempting me. I think he'll tempt me till the end of my life, perhaps even more strongly than ever before. But he's not going to tell me that he's the victor. No, never. 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 You're convinced that Jesus is overcome. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was tempted when he was miles ahead of us spiritually after having walked the new and living way for nearly 30 years. He was tempted with some very ordinary things. Doubt, if you are the Son of God. Is it really true? Because just a few moments before that in the baptism, the voice from heaven had said, what did the voice from heaven say? Chapter 3 verse 17, "This is my beloved Son." Now read these two verses together. Matthew 3:17. The voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son," and chapter 4 verse 3, the tempter came and said, "If you are his beloved Son." Are you really? Prove it. Let's see you do some miracle now. Have you found that temptation? Oh, you're baptized in the Spirit now, is it? Let's see you turn these stones into bread now. Let's see you do some miracle now. And the Lord says, "I'm not interested in that. I'm not anointed by the Spirit to do these things. I want to live by the Word of God. Man shall not live by miracles or bread, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." He says, "That's why the heaven is open over me, so that I can hear the Holy Spirit speak to me." Notice that word, proceeds. Proceeds means it is proceeding now, not proceeded in the past. It's all written down here. That proceeds. That means God is speaking now, and I want to hear. I want to hear what God is saying to me every day. I want to encourage you, brother, sister. This is life in the Spirit. This is what it means to allow the river to carry you, to listen to what the Spirit is saying to you, to make your conscience sensitive to sin, to listen to the Spirit speaking. Don't do that. When you hear that voice behind you saying, "Not that way, this way," yield there, yield, give in. Don't be so stubborn. Give in. Forget it. Forget it. Well, did somebody say something? Forget it. Don't think about it. Don't think about that thing which is making you feel a bit rotten towards somebody. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Listen to that voice. Listen to that voice, brother, sister. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you know that there are many voices in this air right now? You all believe that? If I had a radio set here, I could tune it and prove it to you that there are sounds in this building right now that you and I are not hearing. There's music in this
room which you're not hearing. You just need a radio set to pick it up and you can hear it. There's rock music here now. You can pick it up if you want. There's God's word being preached also through radio here now. You can't hear it. You got to be tuned to listen. And God can speak, you can't hear. And the devil's got his words also, and if I'm tuned to that, I'll hear it. Unbelief, condemnation, criticism, judgment, it's all in the air. Bad thoughts, bitterness, it's all there. You can tune in and soak your mind with it. Or you can tune into some other station and listen to God speaking words of faith and love, forgiveness, goodness, victory, overcome, repent, be broken, humble yourself. Just tune into the right station in the coming days, brother, sister. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He's speaking all the time. I have to hear. And that is one of the wonderful things that comes through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit enables us to hear what the Lord is saying. We're not going to yield to Satan's temptations to do miracles. No, but we want to hear what God is saying. That's the more important thing. God will do miracles if He wants to, in His own time and in His own way. We want to trust Him for that. But more than that, I want to live. Man shall not live by miracles. Man shall not live by turning stones into bread. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Have a great hunger for that, brother, sister. Many times in the past we have heard the word that has proceeded from the mouth of God only through an anointed servant of God who has spoken in the meeting. That's good. But God wants to speak to us directly also through the Spirit when that anointed servant of God is not there. That's why He gives us the Holy Spirit, so that we don't have to go to a prophet like we did in the Old Testament. We can hear. You can hear, and don't let the devil tell you you cannot hear. You tell the devil he's a liar. Get up every morning and say, Satan, you're a liar. Everything you say is a lie. I'm going to believe God's word from now on. I believe God will speak to me. Why won't He speak to me? The devil says, you're too immature. It's like a father who's got children from the age of 35 to the age of, say, 2 years. And the two-year-old says, Daddy, can you tell me something? Oh, no, I can't talk to you. You're immature. I'm going to speak to the older ones. Is there a father like that? Who'll tell a young one, no, you're too young. I can't speak to you. No. It's a lie. The devil's a liar. He's 100% a liar. Tell people that. Tell others. Convince others the devil's a liar. Jesus is the truth. God's word is true. All that accusation and condemnation He puts on you is a lie. All those stories He whispers into your ear about other people causing misunderstanding between you and others, it's a lie. You listen to it, it causes misunderstanding between you and your wife, you and your husband, you and some other brother, you and some other sister. Why don't you tell the devil to his face he's a liar? Instead of listening to all those misunderstandings and criticisms, I want to exhort you in the name of Jesus, preserve the unity of the Spirit. In these days, preserve the unity of the Spirit. Fight the battle in your heart to throw away those thoughts of misunderstanding and criticism and judgment and accusation and self-justification and trying to prove you're right, and finish with it. Say no more of that. I want to hear what God is saying. I want to live. I want to live, and I want to abundant life. Jesus said, I came to give life, and I came to give abundant life. How shall I have abundant life? By listening to more of God's words. More of what God has to say to me. I want to listen. The devil took Him, we read further in verse 5, to the pinnacle of the temple. It is all in his mind, you know.
He didn't physically walk behind the devil to the temple. He was in the wilderness all the time. But the devil put a thought into his mind. Now you're in the pinnacle of the temple. Why don't you jump down? Do you know that that's temptation? When the devil puts a thought into your mind, that's temptation. And it's a question of what you do with that thought. If you reject it, you don't sin. If you receive it and welcome it, you sin. But when a thought is flashed into your mind, that's temptation. A thought was flashed into Jesus' mind. Now you're on the pinnacle of the temple. Why don't you jump down and claim the promise of God now? The devil comes like that also after you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Come on, claim that promise now. There is a word which says, He will give His angels charge concerning you, and they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Come on, jump down and claim that promise. Come on, lay your hand on that leper and cleanse that leper in Jesus' name, and show you are a man of God. The devil, Jesus was not going to live by every word that proceeds from the devil's mouth. Far from it. He had just told him, I live by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. And one of the words that proceeds from God's mouth right now is, you shall not put the Lord your God to a test. Verse 7. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. What a wonderful life that is, that when the devil puts a thought into your mind, God gives you a word, the right word, for that particular temptation, for that particular time. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. How did Jesus know that there was such a scripture in the book of Deuteronomy? Because when he was a young boy, he studied Deuteronomy. It was not supernatural. He studied God's word. That's how it remained in his mind. He stored it all in there. And when it was needed, the Holy Spirit brought it out. That's why we've exhorted you again and again. Read God's word. Claim its promises. Obey its commands. Here is a command. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, verse 8, and their glory. God showed Jesus all the glory of the world, honor, pleasure, position, greatness, promotion, money, comfort, luxury. Can you imagine Jesus being tempted with all these things? He was tempted in all points like we are. And the devil said, I'll give you all these things. I will give it to you because I have the power. In Luke chapter 4, in the same parallel passage, the devil says, I have the power to give it to whom I like. I have the power to give it to whom I like. Because the world has been given to the devil by God. And as Satan said, I'll give it to you, just bow down for a moment and worship me. Just bow down and listen to what I'm saying. And you can have it all. Do you think the devil won't come to you and me like that if he tempted the Son of God after Jesus had overcome sin for 30 years? I think we've got to be absolute idiots to think that the devil won't tempt us like that. He has tempted us like that in the past. And we have bowed down to him to gain something for ourselves. And now we repent of it and say, Satan, you'll never get me to bow down to you again. Never again will you get me to bow down to you. Never. Whatever I may get, I don't want to get it by bowing down to Satan. Satan says, just compromise a little bit here, a little bit there. And what are you going to do? What is compromise? When you know that this is what God wants you to stand for, and the devil says, don't be so strict and so rigid, just bend a little, compromise a little. That is to bow down. To bow down is to bend a little. Just bend a little, don't be so upright. You got to live in this world, just bend a little. And when you bend a little, you're bending before Satan. You see, you don't have to go all the way down to the floor, just a little bit, just bow your head a little bit. Just a little bit. You've got to live in the world, remember. And the prince of the world says, thank you very much. Bowing down to me, I allow you to have that which you wanted so much. You can have it. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to bow down. You'll be tempted. I'll be tempted in the days to come. Just compromise a little there. Compromise your standards.
You'll get something of this world.
And that's the time you got to say to him, no, you know, I only bow down before the Lord my God. And he's the only one I'm going to serve. Satan's being defeated on the cross. You'll gain nothing, my brother, sister, by compromising and bowing down to him in any area. May God raise up in our church an army of soldiers, warriors, who fight Satan, fight the world, fight the lusts in their flesh. We have come into the battlefield. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is power to fight Satan, to fight our lusts, to fight everything unchristlike. To be wise. Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit of the fear of the Lord that makes me sensitive. Sensitive. You know that verse in Isaiah 11, it says about Jesus? Isaiah 11, verse 3. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, verse 2, Isaiah 11, verse 2, will rest on him. The last part of that, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. You know, you read in Revelation of the seven spirits of God around the throne. Here they are. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of strength, Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. The sevenfold Holy Spirit rested upon Jesus. And can rest upon us. And he takes, out of all those things, he takes one thing, the fear of the Lord, in verse 3, and says, especially the fear of the Lord. Especially, he's going to make him quick of scent in the fear of the Lord. It's like people whose noses are very sensitive. Oh, it's a horrible smell there. I don't want to go that way. Isn't it wonderful when we can pick up a scent? So, repulsive. It's a pile of human dung over there. Yeah? The Spirit of the Lord can make you sensitive. You pick it up and say, no, I don't want to go that way. And when a man is not sensitive to the fear of God, it's like a man, I don't smell anything. So it looks alright and go land right in the middle of it and still not pick up the scent. It's terrible. That's how sin is. That's how sin is. If only we could see that to go into sin is like jumping into an overflowing toilet and saying, I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time here, enjoying myself in an overflowing toilet. And the man who's got the sense of the fear of the Lord walks hundreds of yards away from it. He doesn't say, how near can I come to this toilet without being defiled. He's not interested. He's going well clear in another direction. The Spirit of God will make us quick of scent in the fear of the Lord. Lust with your eyes. What is it? What is it? It's an overflowing toilet. That's what it is. Anger, bitterness, jealousy, strife. Look at the number of overflowing toilets believers have wallowed in for years. The Spirit of God has come to make us sensitive. Jump out, cleanse yourself, go and have a bath. Ask the blood of Jesus to make you fresh and to pour the Spirit, the perfume upon you so that you can be clean. Go in another direction following Jesus. He'll make you quick of scent. It's because you got your feet on the ground. You want the Spirit and you want to have your feet on the ground also. That's why all these things happen. Allow the Spirit to carry you, brother, sister, from now on. Allow the Spirit of God to carry you from now on. To be an overcomer in the days to come. This call of the Spirit comes in these days in the church. Be an overcomer. Be an overcomer in the moment of temptation. Hear this word from the Spirit. Be an overcomer. Fight the battle. I felt my lust so pressing, and I've heard the tempter call, and then I've heard my Savior bidding me fight on, don't give up, fight on. That's how we overcome. So it's a battle. But it's a battle in which we're going to win. We're going to love. We're not going to live in this overflowing toilet of bitterness and grudges. And God have mercy on you if you allow that to come into your life anymore. Finished with it? I have finished with it. I don't want that anymore. You cast all these things away as an unclean thing and say, no more do I want all that. I finished with all that. See what it says in Isaiah 30, verse 21. Your ears will hear a word behind you. 30, verse 21. This is the way, walk in it. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you turn to the right or the left, and when you hear that voice, you will defile your graven images overlaid with silver, your molten images made of gold. You'll scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, be gone. Be gone. You'll turn away from that overflowing toilet. Say, be gone. I'm going to be bathed in the blood of Jesus. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to be perfumed with the Holy Spirit now. I'm going to steer clear of this. Anything that is sinful, I want to see the sinfulness of sin. I want to make this. I want the Spirit of God to show me the evil of sin. I want the Spirit of God to show me that rebellion is like witchcraft. No difference between rebellion and witchcraft. Stubbornness is like bowing down to idols. Yeah, no difference. That's what the Holy Spirit says. And I want to turn. I want to be sensitive. Lord, make my nose more and more sensitive to these overflowing toilets in this world in which I have to live. This way, there's an overflowing toilet. That way, there's another one. I go to the office, plenty of them there. I go to my relatives, oh, overflowing like anything. Lord, how shall I live? Please make me sensitive to walk wisely, circumspectly, carefully, wisely, that I also don't get involved in all this useless conversation, worldly friends, relatives, all the filth flowing out of their mouth. Have you ever seen it like that? Have you ever seen gossip like an overflowing toilet coming out of a person's mouth? See it like that next time. Let God give you a vision of an overflowing toilet coming out of a man's mouth. Gossip and backbiting and evil speaking. And you sit there and swallow it all in. Finish with that. Let's finish with that. Say, Lord, how insensitive I have been. Now the spirit of the fear of the Lord has come upon me. And I'm going to be sensitive. I'm going to see sin for what it is. I'm going to see sin for the filthy thing it is that crucified Jesus on Calvary. And I want to finish with it. I want to hear the voice of the Lord every day, not just in the meeting. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. You cannot, my brother, you cannot live in victory just by coming and getting pep talks in the meeting and getting stirred up in the meeting. You can only live if you learn to listen to the voice of the Spirit every day. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. Open your life to the Spirit. Say, Lord, I want to break with the things of earth. I want to listen to you. And the Spirit of God will show you your pride. How you speak in such a way as to make other people feel small because you're so great and you're so big. And the Spirit of God will show you how you make other people feel uncomfortable by your presence. Your bigness and your greatness and your arrogance and your pride. And you think no end of yourself. And the way you criticize others and put other people down, the Spirit of God will show you all that. You humble yourself and say, Lord, I've been living in an overflowing toilet. I want to be cleansed. I want a bath. Bathe me in the blood of Jesus. Put the Spirit upon me and let me never go back to this life again. I want to put it away as an unclean thing. I want to spend the rest of my days listening to what the Spirit is saying. I want to listen to what the Spirit is saying in these days. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Be an overcomer. Fight the battle. He who endures until the end will be saved. God wants to make you a pillar in the church. Brother, sister, young people, you young people whom the Lord has met with in these days, Hear the word of the Lord. God wants to make you a pillar, an overcomer in the church. A pillar. And if after all that the Lord has done, there's still going to be people here to whom the Lord has to say, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not experience it. Oh, what a tragedy. Oh, what a tragedy it'll be. That has happened to people. That has happened to people. They hear of it, but they do not experience it. There are people who should have been here in this time of the moving of the Spirit who are not here. What a tragedy. Rebellion is like witchcraft. Stubbornness is like idolatry. God speaks and speaks and they won't hear. They won't hear. Don't be like that. Learn a lesson from better people than you who have fallen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.